Kim Weaver of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board is my guest. And, Kim, it's a big day. You're celebrating at the Thrift Savings Plan. I imagine you had banners and noisemakers and streamers and big celebration for the big mark that you've hit.
Yeah, $400 billion is a lot of money. You can't deny that.
That is exactly, that's the understatement of the day.
There we go.
I'm lucky to find $400, and you've got $400 billion. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What is the deal here? Is this one particular thing that you can attribute this to, or is this kind of a confluence of events?
This is just the continued growth in the stock market plus continued participation rates. And those two things have pushed us. At the end of February, we had $403.9 billion in the TSP. I'm hesitant to say it, but if the stock market falls dramatically, that number will head south of $400 billion again. But the one thing we know is sooner or later it will creep back up. That's the good thing about it.
Some numbers that my colleague Jack Moore reports in his story on federalnewsradio.com I think are striking. 87% of eligible employees are contributing to their accounts in the past month. That is a little better than we've seen before, and that's a positive. I guess this is people who are saying, well, now that the stock market's up, I should get back in, and I guess it's better to get back in now than to get back in never.
It's a combination of a whole bunch of things. One is we now have auto enroll. So people who in the past may have neglected to sign up are auto enrolled. So that helps move the participation figure up. And the other thing we saw is, of course, last year we discussed people were taking hardship withdrawals at a higher rate than we had seen. And if people had taken a hardship withdrawal last summer, then they are now eligible to participate again. Because as you remember, if you take a hardship withdrawal, you can't contribute for 6 months.
Right.
And so that time, so there's a whole confluence of events. And then third of all, some people don't figure their contributions if they're FERS employees correctly, and they hit the 17.5 IRS max before the end of the calendar year. And so that'll stop their contributions. So there's a whole bunch of things that go on. And then at the beginning of January, we typically see sort of a pop back up for those people who had maxed out at the end of the previous year.
A number that I really like, too, courtesy of Renee Wilder, the Director of Enterprise Planning, your colleague there at the TSP, is that the opt-out rate is only 2.8%, and she compares that to the private sector, which is about 9%. That's really good news.
Yes.
That so many people that are participating, they at least have accounts, even if they're not among that 87% that put some money in last month.
Well, those are people, what she was talking about is that those are small people and, small number of people who opt out. If they're FERS employees, they'll get the 1% agency automatic. They're just not putting their money in, as you said.
Yes.
But then the auto-enrolled population, they're auto-enrolled at 3%, and they get the 3% agency match. So those people are at least getting 6% into their account, which is a good thing for them.
Yeah, that's a really good thing that the auto enrollees, that program is working the way that it was intended to work all along, right?
Yes, it is.
New hires, Jack writes, automatically enrolled in the G Fund, and any movement on changing that? We talked about that a little bit the last time you were on the program.
Well, I am very pleased to say that a bill was dropped in on the House side by Chairman Issa, and it was already marked up on March 12th. It was co-sponsored by Congressman Cummings, Farenthold, Lynch, Woodall, Connolly, and Holmes-Norton, and we're very grateful to those members. And then on the Senate side, an identical bill was introduced by Senator Warren, and Senator Portman, and that bill hasn't moved yet. But we're very, very pleased that Congress is moving fairly quickly on this bill to allow us to auto-enroll people into an age-appropriate L fund.
And that's an interesting combination on the Senate side, too, because Senator Warren is the senator who, of course, was behind the Consumer Financial Protection Board founding and was originally going to be the first leader of that board, and is a very partisan, very enthusiastic Democrat. Senator Portman was the director of the Office of Management and Budget during the Bush administration and is a very enthusiastic Republican. So seeing them, who come from generally from financial issues at two different directions, combined on this, sounds to me like that probably bodes well for you on the Senate side.
We are very hopeful.
I think that's a fair comment for you to make on that, Kim.
Yes.
Jack writes about some of the changes to the L Fund that you're looking at overall, and we've talked about the rebranding, and we've talked about the maybe changing the allocations and so on. But the board was the reaction was a little mixed, it sounds like.
Well, what happened, we regularly, in this case, this means about every 3 years, we get a report from our investment consultant who goes out and looks at the world to see if there are new investment funds that we should offer. And we got that report in January of 2013. And they look at a wide array of things. They look at emerging markets and commodities and REITs and just, I think there were roughly, I can't remember, more than a dozen different items that we could offer. And what they found as they did their review is that none of them were appropriate to be added to the TSP at this time for a variety of different reasons. One, there weren't index funds, and we're obviously all of our things are index funds. They weren't daily valued, or the market was so, the capital in the market was so small that our size could swamp the market.
Mm-hmm.
So for one or another of those reasons, back in January of 2013, our consultant said it's not appropriate to add a new fund to the TSP at this time. And one of our board members said, well, is there anything that we should add to the L funds, as just the L funds, not as a new standalone? So we went back and looked at it again, and they looked at emerging markets, international, obviously, international small cap, global REITs, or commodities, or all four. And what they determined was that if we added emerging markets or all of them, all four, that would benefit the L funds without meaningfully increasing the risk. But that would require legislation, and it would also require sort of an explanation as to why you'd be offering it just to people in the L funds as opposed to all the other participants in the TSP. As I said, the underlying problem is there aren't necessarily funds available for us to do this. So this is going to be a long-term effort. You know, no one listening should think that next year we're going to be offering a new fund. But it is something that we continually look at because we obviously want to offer funds to our participants that can increase their return without meaningfully increasing their risk.
And another element that I know that's really important to you and that I'm sure you'll be looking at as you go through this process is what it might mean toward increasing the overall costs of the program, too.
Absolutely. That is yet another thing that we would have to look at.
Do you think that there might be that might be a particularly sensitive area here if you're going to introduce something to one portion of the participants that not everybody has access to? I imagine you'll have to be very careful to make sure that if there are costs associated with them, the folks who don't have access to or who choose not to participate won't bear those costs at all.
Well, at the moment, the way we're structured, all participants, if they're in a fund, if you're in the F fund, if you're in the G fund, you pay the costs associated with that specific fund. And that's the way your costs are, our costs are borne by the participants. The only place where we have, a specific authority to charge so to speak, participants who are taking advantage of something is under the mutual fund window. If we decide to go down that road, then people who are using the mutual fund window will have to bear the cost of using the mutual fund window. And again, that's another longer term conversation. So if we were to add a new fund, we would, I think, probably use it under our what we do now. If you're in the F fund, you pay the F fund costs. If you're in the I fund, you pay the I fund costs. But since all of this is theoretical and several years down the road, I don't have any firm answers.